Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge War of the Worlds, or Hap Up Podcast, episode 4. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I am tired, but I'm excited to talk about this episode. We have been wall to wall, I feel like, with action in these first four episodes.
Yeah. Legends are dropping. Now the two teams gone. Almost a reshuffling of teams. It's been a lot.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about the double elimination reveal. Spoiler alert. I think that was great. Didn't quite pay off, but the chance that we get that in the future, I think, is awesome. And we really are seeing this season more than ever, like, how will the challenge survive when these vets are put out to pasture? So I'm here for the test ride.
Yeah, it's aggressive. Everyone's aggressive. No holding back. Everyone's, you know, doing what they think is best, even if it might not be or might not be for our entertainment. But yeah, everyone's pushing their chips in the middle, which is great.
Before we get to the episode, I guess we already did. So before we continue to get to the episode, I have the only correction that will ever matter to me. So you can always at me with this kind of thing. Last week, I said that Jenna was in the room with Amanda and Josh, which, as I said it to my own credit last week, I was like, that doesn't really make sense. But you know what? Some fights are like more blown up for camera. So I'm sure like Amanda and Jenna like could be fine, whatever. It was Davon, so I don't know. I stand by that it sounded like Jenna. No one will go back, but if someone wants to go back and pull the clip, I stand by that if you only heard the audio, it sounds like Jenna.
Yeah, that was one of the funnier corrections we ever did. Like, it couldn't have been more, like, I guess if it was like Leroy, I guess that could have been more different, but it was like pretty close to being as different of a person than it could possibly be.
It's not even that the different, like, that they're different people. It's that, like, Jenna would never be like, come on, Amanda, don't leave. Like, that's what's crazy about it, is, like, it makes no sense as a character for her to be there. But, so, yeah, no, at me with the funny corrections. I appreciated that. Not as many people corrected that as you might think. I mean, you didn't correct it.
No, well, yeah. That, if you're asking me to remember who's in certain rooms at certain times, that's not my forte.
Yeah. So we already talked about how this is a new dawn. That's sort of how this episode starts. But it really starts with Jenna telling Zach that Kyle was cheering for Johnny the whole time.
Yeah. And we, and then he also points out, which we kind of thought might happen, which why he might doubt it, that, oh, it's Kara telling you that. So he's not as certain if it's true, just based off the source.
Yeah, I think that this was well handled by all parties involved, except maybe Jenna, who like didn't need to necessarily bring it to Zach in the way she did. She kind of brought it as like, I saw this, and he was like, wait, how did you know this? And she's like, oh, Kara told me. So I don't know that Jenna really handled this the best, but for Zach to go to Kyle directly, and just Kyle did a really good job of diffusing it, saying like, look, Kara just wants me miserable and isolated with no friends, and like, this is tedious and boring, which I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised that Kara wouldn't just go to Zach directly. I mean, it's not like her and Jenna are that close, and her and Zach are close. So that was kind of surprising that she would use Jenna as the middleman.
Well, I think that was sort of genius of Kara, right? It's like, you know, girlfriend to girlfriend, like, I'm just looking out for your boy. As opposed to, like, if Kara says it, I think she knows that she can't be trusted.
But I guess so, yeah. I guess, yeah. Sort of.
What was very weird about this whole thing is that there was a tweet. So I actually wove most of the tweets from this episode, gathered by our great and reliable Megan Elizabeth, digital communications manager, were basically live tweets because we're pulling. I don't know if we said this. We're recording right after the episode on Wednesday. So most of these are like live tweets. So I incorporated them into the notes where appropriate. So what makes no sense here is Jenna tweeted, I have to say, at Kyle CG Shore told me multiple answers to tell Zach during the elimination. He full out told me it sucks seeing two of his good friends against each other, but he def helped out a lot. And Maddie retweeted that and said he was running back and forth the whole time. So Jenna, if he was helping you, like, why was that not part of the story?
Right. That's a clear part of, like, clearly rooting for both, not just rooting for Bananas. So very odd.
This is also interesting. And Megan and I were both working overtime this week because a lot of the drama that we're going to cover this week happened between last week's episode and tonight's episode. I almost want to like speed through the episode recap to just get to the shit that happened this week. But I'm also going to try to incorporate that where relevant in the episode. So Devon dropped a YouTube video that you guys can check out, a 2-part YouTube recap of last week. And she mentioned in this YouTube recap that Polly and Kyle, in her observation, like in her estimation, get along extremely well and only have a problem when Kara is in the room. And that it's like Kara will like give Polly a look when they're laughing and Polly will stop laughing and be like, "Rawr, I hate you." Rah, 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 rah. And part of that is fair. And I spoke to Jonathan Foreman about this and we were talking, he was like, "Yeah, but it's also definitely upkeep for the show." So Devon is laying the speculation that Polly and Kyle don't actually hate each other, and it is directed by Kara. I drop that in to let it sort of just melt into this episode and trickle down to the drama that happens afterwards. Mm-hmm. I just want to set the stage that that's how myself and the other viewers of Devon's YouTube video came into this.
Do you buy that, at least to some degree or all degrees?
I'm sorry?
Do you buy what Devon's saying?
I buy it, especially because we got, first of all, listen to Devon's YouTube. I mean, it's pretty long, but like to me, I'm sort of coming from like Devon seems to be like the trusty, reliable source of the drama. Like she's willing to get scrappy with it. She's willing to like out people on Twitter, but she somehow has like maintained this level of credibility where like Amanda's like, "Oh, ask Devon, she saw it too. Like, you won't believe me, but you'll believe Devon." Like, Devon's doing this recap, and I don't know what Devon has to gain by, like, suggesting this. And you see it later in the episode where Polly's just like, "Oh, Kara likes it when I, like, get in Kyle's face." Like, he said that in the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that was one of the more takeaway lines that he said that, like, yeah, he almost does this just to impress her, just to like make her like him even more, like, and love her even more. So, yeah, I do buy that a lot. It's also by the fact that they would probably look to ham it up when Kara's in the room because they know that's when it would spark camera time. Like if they're kind of just butting heads or arguing kind of on their own, I think it brings more to it when Kara's there to like break him up and try to separate Polly, and then she can get in Kyle's face. So I think they kind of also know what they're doing in terms of that.
And we'll, you know, talk more about that little trio after the challenge, but I'm pretty sick of it, especially considering that I'm not sure now if it's like this weird like sex thing for Kara and Polly, or if it's like Kara has feelings for Kyle as they talk about, or if it's the camera, mm-hmm. or whatever. We're gonna have to sort through that drama against our will,
unfortunately.
But let's talk about actually before we talk about the challenge, did you notice that not once, but twice in this episode, they cut to the challenge flag being at half mast?
No, I did not. What was that for?
Oh my God. Banana's departure. I am sure of it.
That's actually really funny.
So when they cut through the challenge, so a couple of my friends who watched Survivor also watched the challenge. They stuck around and it cuts to the flag at half mast as they go to the challenge. And I'm just like, why is it at half mast? And they're like, "Oh, we didn't notice." The next time it happened, it was another like full three beats on this half mast. And someone was like, "Oh, you're going to get Twitter. Like, it's always half mast. It's always half mast. If it's always half mast for some War of the Worlds theme, that's stupid." And they've never cut to it with like at this length where everybody freaking noticed. So don't at me. It's half mast for Bananas, which is simultaneously the worst and best thing that's ever happened on the show.
So I guess it'll have like they probably have to drop it down further, right, for CT next week, or I don't know what they do, or keep it the same level. We gotta say
we're on mast watch.
Mast watch.
Hashtag mast watch.
Oh man, so the flag is the new bitch. Here we go. This is War of the Worlds.
I mean, the flag probably is gonna add more to the show, but we'll see. Mitch doesn't deserve the shade. Mitch doesn't. The uncle of Ryder K does not deserve the shade.
Right. Oh my God. So funny. Okay. The challenge?
Sure.
I like when TJ tries to be funny and he's lying about, like, I'm sure there was a lot of fallout. Get it? Ha ha. With the challenge last week, because that's what this one's also called.
He's yeah. I just love Devon here being like, because in her YouTube video, she said, like, I just saw those big maps at the killing floor and was just so happy that's not my challenge because I hate heights. And I'm like, it was 6 footholds on a rock wall. So yeah, the crane is a bit more intimidating here.
Yeah, and at least this time, I mean, they're strapped in. I feel like if this was like a couple seasons ago, they probably would have had them fall straight into water, and then one of them would have been, you know, severely hurt and sent home. So I think they're trying to make it a little bit safer.
Well, they don't want any breast implants to rupture.
Right. That's very true. We almost had a sort of that, I guess, a little bit, but not to that extreme.
It's funny. There are only two things I ever can remember with any sort of reliability, and that's what you tweeted about, which is like the pajama rama that was the fight between CT right. and Adam, and Siobhan's breast implant popping in the water. That's it. That's all I have.
Siobhan. She knows she's, I mean, for someone who's out, I think only one time, she certainly made a very lasting impact.
For me, at least.
For a lot of people.
All right. So let's talk about this challenge. Did you like this challenge? This like pendulum. So, it's called Fallout. I'm going to call it Pendulum of Death.
Basically. So I thought this was going to be one of those classic challenges where they like tested it somehow and it passed. And then when they actually did it, it was like much harder than they ever thought. But then what I thought they would do, which I thought maybe was in the rules and I didn't fully understand, is once the guys started to jump, it was a lot simpler. So then I liked it more. I was just confused on the strategy for a lot of the teams.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty clear. Once Zach and Zahid are the first team to have the man jump. Like, I think people misunderstood, you know, oh my God, the people on the challenge don't understand, like, physics. But, like, if you just, like, throw your weight to side with the pendulum, like, a woman can make it swing even if she's half the weight of her male partner enough. Like, you don't need to be pulling it. Like, I don't know if they thought, right. like, oh, you need arm strength for this. Like, absolutely not. You need, like, height, like Theo. If Kara could have done it, right? But, like, Theo is, like, 1 million feet tall. So, like, that's all he really needs is length.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but like you said, maybe they were confused, like, the pendulum had to hold up the person while they were going. Because otherwise, it really did not make much sense. Especially because Bear was like, you know, I'm not scared of heights at all. This is, like, I'm ready to do anything with heights. And he just wasn't doing it. So, yeah, it was very odd the first 4 or 5 teams that kind of went about it the wrong way.
Yeah, that's where we were at over here, too, is like you basically need to have the person who's the most comfortable with heights being the jumper. And you can sort of like confidence in heights can sort of make up for like even Georgia, who's a tiny girl, like she seemed comfortable up there where she's able to adjust, you know, after almost falling off and get herself positioned mm-hmm. to then be able to reach it easily. So it yeah. just sort of your comfort level really matters with heights.
What I was glad about was they didn't do anything stupid or annoying where they were like the tribunal can pick the order. Like it was all random, right? Like that's how it was determined. So I like that they're doing that. So there's not a carryover effect of if you're in it 1 week, your chances of being in it the next week are even higher. So I like that they're just kind of keeping each week to its own.
Did they say that?
That it's random?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
It doesn't even say the tribunal's picking the order, so then I just assumed it was random from there.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, a lot of times, like, we'll have found out, like, via Twitter that, like, somebody picked the order and they just didn't show it, but, I mean, based on the order, I mean, like, Pauly and Ninja going first, now I'm just looking at the order. Like, I guess it kind of makes sense. Who was the tribunal last week?
Okay. Well, it was Pauly, right? Wasn't he in it? So
oh,
he
yes.
wanted to put himself
yeah,
first.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, yeah, random makes sense to me. Unless it was like the winner of the elimination, but Wes and CT, mm-hmm. I mean, Wes and D, but they would have gone dead last. So yeah, I'm fine with it, assuming it's random. And I agree with you then that like, especially because in seasons past, like we weren't getting that as part of the story, it would be edited out. So if it's like yep. so unimportant to be edited out, then it doesn't need to happen.
Totally.
The thing I really took away from this challenge is that Shailene is absolutely terrible and any hopes of Leroy making a final here lie in a reshuffling in a double elimination. Yeah. Like he should be volunteering now to go into double totally. Eliminations when he yeah, hears he, this is it.
Yeah. He hears double elimination. He should pull the Pauly and like, let me just go in and take on Kyle one-on-one. That should be the move.
Except you should do it.
Our blood feud.
Except you should not be a coward and do that for the show. You should actually do it when you could actually go in, which is when you're picking the teams to go in and put yourself in. But
yep.
that would be the actual move.
But shout out Georgia. I mean, the only girl to complete the jump. Very impressive.
Well, Ninja completed it.
No, didn't she fall?
No, Ninja.
She didn't get the bell. Well, she completed the first jump, but she didn't get the bell.
They were in the tribunal.
Oh, she did get the bell. Oh, that's true. Just kidding. All right. So shout out to Georgia being one of the only two girls to complete the job.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, at least Natalie and PJ falling got them a confessional for the first time in four episodes.
Yeah. I mean, Natalie, this was like one of the most invisible I think anyone's ever been on any season ever.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. I will talk about this too. But like what frustrated me this season is like Natalie, quote unquote, earned her stripes last season and, you know, held her own against Kyle and Brad in elimination, like made the final. Yes, she ran the wrong way. But does that somehow undo that she was like a real competitor last season? I know they were eliminated, but they kept coming back, whatever. Like, why is Natalie some like one of the women said that Natalie was the weakest in that elimination, including Julia. Like, why is Natalie somehow a pariah?
I don't know why she'd be a pariah within that. I mean, it would make sense why she could be a pariah edit wise, because she just doesn't like, she's not in a romantic relationship with anyone. She's not really feuding with anyone. So I can see why she would fall through the cracks that way. But it doesn't make sense why she would fall through the cracks as being seen as even like a middling competitor, because I mean, that's at least what she is, if not better, depending upon the right situation. So yeah, that's confusing.
I mean, this season's edit is to Natalie as I am to Sylvia. It's like we totally have erased all of Natalie's achievements for no good reason.
Yeah, I mean, the elimination she had last season when she was like tumbling in the hamster wheel was one of the more impressive things I've seen in a while. So, yeah, it was kind of surprising how underrated she really was, or at least is to the other people.
We also have to, you know, we have to say things because bananas can't. What happened with Wes here?
Yeah, not great. Not a good look. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's not feeling a lot of the heat. He's seems like he's probably in a good spot. Doesn't feel like he's targeted. Maybe
he's
a little bit of
pressure. No way. Are you suggesting that he threw this?
No, just out of that. When you need to win, you get the adrenaline pumping a little bit more.
No, Wes sucked at this, and it's fine. I did lie because, I mean, I did lie. I did laugh when CT and Julia went because, like, the determination was solely that CT literally couldn't do this jump.
No, he couldn't.
For all the money in the world. Talk about needing to be in a must-win situation would motivate you. No, like, nothing would motivate CT to do this jump. And Julia was really close. I think she was probably the closest of the girls who didn't make it.
Yeah, I love CT's reaction. He was like a proud dad running over, giving her a big hug. The sweet.
CT's an absolute sweetheart.
RIP CT.
It's definitely different than seeing him with Veronica.
Yes, it's a slightly different.
And then Gus bit his lip, gave new meaning to biting your lip.
Yeah, teeth popping right through it, apparently. That sounds gross.
Yeah, we'll leave it to Gus to explain. He says, hit the beam and my teeth went through my bottom lip, fractured my two front teeth, and had a concussion. Still not enough to make me quit. I don't give up that easy. Flex emoji, still in this, at Jenna, Compono, whatever. Team Gunna. Okay. And Jenna retweeted this and said, you animal! So, good for them.
Yay, good for Gus. See you never again.
We also have to talk about Nani and Turbo, and I have a specific question from a listener, Allie Lasher. Turbo is insane. He rings the bell. He does this like crazy martial arts breakdancing segment with CT voiceover saying that Nani is in a great position to make it to a final. Is this a good omen for them or is this a bad omen for them?
No, I think it's a good omen. I think there is a very good chance that they're making a final this year, mainly because Turbo is just so insanely good.
Yeah, and I do think like we need to give Nani credit herself, and I think that's what happened in this scene is like CT's being like, yeah, Turbo's amazing, but like Nani is like primed to make a final too, and like Nani's willingness to put CT in, we'll debate whether or not that was a good move, but she's clearly not a follower this season. Like she came to play her own game. And I agree. At first, I was like, oh, God, you never want to be like bragging about a win and have somebody being like, you're definitely going to make a final. But in this case, I don't see who's taking them out.
Yeah, I don't see who's taking them out. I don't see who's like targeting them. I mean, it's Nani, I guess, could pop off at any moment and create an enemy. So that could be their biggest downfall, but even then I think they're going to be a little scared to go against Turbo, because I think he's the strongest guy in the house right now.
And he's just such an unknown, right? Like, because he's like Derek. I forget who's the good Derek. Derek H or Derek K?
K.
K. Derek Kaczynski, K. He,
something like that.
He is like the same kind of build as him, where you're like gonna underestimate him because he's a little bit smaller. But like, you just have no way to assess what he's capable of, especially because you've never seen him before. So like, even with Derek, I feel like he's, even every time Derek comes in, he's still like a little bit of an unknown, because every time you think he's maxed out, like, he just has sheer will to fight and perform. And so like, Turbo will make up for his size in every single challenge.
Yep. So Turbo, he came over from Survivor Turkey, so he's not really connected with the Bear, like, Georgia, UK crew, right?
Correct.
Okay. So he was only really paired with JP, and now he's kind of on his own?
We did see them having, we did see him sitting in on the Hunter and Wes conversation, but,
but he has, preseason going in as friends connections.
Right,
really.
Not that we're privy to.
Okay. Right.
Especially in the first, preview episode, everyone's like, who's that mysterious guy in the beard who, talking to anyone? Yep.
Yeah, which I think is almost a good spot, because there's so, like, you can see there's so many other people that are feuding and fighting with each other that Turbo can easily, they can just like float right on by.
We also find out this week, as opposed to last week, like, that the top is being delivered in no particular order for the tribunal. Would you prefer to know first, second, and third, or do you think this is fine?
Unless it adds something to be first, keep it a mystery. It's fine with me.
See, I'd like to see some results. I want to see some times. I want to say first place Ninja and Polly, 10 seconds. Like, just give us the validation. And I promise I won't harp on this every week, especially when I don't think we have any qualms about these three being the best performers in the challenge. But, like, just, like, add a smidge of legitimacy to the results. Just, like, a salt bay of results.
Sure.
But anyway,
I can't argue with that. So
in no particular order, with no validation or proof at all, Ninja and Polly, Hunter and Georgia, and Nani and Turbo are your tribunal.
Yes. Strong, strong threesome.
See, I had $100 on the line that you were going to say, wait.
No, I can't do it. My boy's not on. I can't wait.
Yeah,
to
but that's what TJ does. But that's what TJ does.
I guess so.
Also, I am sure you've done this on this podcast without Tony being on this season.
Probably. Probably. I'll do it later this season now. Don't worry.
Good thing nobody took that action. Nobody knew what I was talking about. But it's going to be a double elimination. TJ just tosses this out like, you know what? Wait. There's kind of a lot of you. So, you know what? Two of you gone home. Like, was this the right time? Because it didn't seem to impact the decision at all. So it almost, like, to me, like, tell us how it's going to happen so that people can strategize about it. Or don't tell them at all and whip it out at the end. Like, do the wait at the killing floor. But here, right, like, he just gives you a little information. They can't do anything with it. And nobody talks about it.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of odd timing. I agree. Either you do this type of bomb, at the killing floor, or you give them, they're so big on keeping them like in suspense and not laying out exactly what's going on. I think there's like a time and place for that, but then there's also a time and place for giving them the information and then seeing what may transpire. I think they get a little too cute sometimes. Give them like the full menu and let them go from there.
And I don't mind, like, I kind of think, you know, as we've matured in this podcast, the show has matured to whatever. No. We've like sort of changed our tune from like bitching about the format changes to like embracing it and like, yeah, the rules don't matter. That's fine. Like, you love it because of that. Like, you know, you the general you has to just embrace that. So that's fine with me. But like, there was just no payoff to this. Like, don't tell them the rules, but like, spring it on them when, you know, Kyle and Maddie go down, they pick JP and Natalie, and then be like, oh, you know what? There's too many of you. Like, that would have been great in that moment.
Totally. Yeah, I'm fine with them tossing in random times to do eliminations, whatever they want to do with that. But yeah, I think they should mix up when they keep people in the dark and when they, because they don't, at this point, they're like so rarely give them the full details of a twist. Like, we still don't know, again, what might happen in a tie. And that's fine to keep that as like the mystery, but then give them some other stuff. So there's like some mystery, some transparency.
That's another thing that has been pointed out since last week. And it happened, and Day talked about it in her YouTube also, that there's like a heightened sense beyond. And I don't know that we really needed to know this to know that this was the case, but like, there's a heightened sense of fear that the tribunal will all three be up somehow for elimination in a tie because they're told to pack their uniforms as well. I don't think we necessarily needed to know that detail to figure that out, but confirmed, like the tribunal is told they will also need their uniforms for the elimination.
All right. So then that seems like a very probable option.
Right. Which we knew. I mean, like that's what happens when you can't come to consensus.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about this deliberation here between what I think is a pretty interesting tribunal. No strong alliances between the three teams. So I always think that makes for a more interesting setup.
Right.
Oh, happy birthday, Brian, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's been quite the birthday already.
Yeah, so we don't know how much footage got recorded of what occurred, but we are now, this is like going to be the reality show of making the podcast that nobody wants to listen to. But first of all, it is actually his Brian's birthday. And I think his neighbor's toilet exploded so that I could wish you a happy birthday on your actual birthday, which is now Thursday.
Right. There was a chance that the podcast
12 hours has passed since the last 15 minutes of this podcast started.
Yeah. If the recording last night went really long, there's a chance we could have reach my birthday, but now because of a fun flooding incident, this is a New York City apartment living. We are now recording on my birthday, so this is a fun jump cut to this makes no sense for everyone listening, but for us it's been very entertaining.
So here's the good news for the people who had to just deal with that confusing 54 seconds. We're gonna continue to talk about the episode where we left off because we're professionals, but it did give me time to like get the social media nonsense in order. So, like, we really need to get through this stuff in this episode because I already had to cut things. I had to leave interesting content that would normally get read on the cutting room floor because there's just too much. That has never happened before.
On the killing room floor?
On the podcast. Yes. I also coincidentally call, I don't know, I'm actually in a law school library, so I can't pretend this is my floor. Things are weird today. Let's get back to our business on this birthday Thursday for you, Brian.
Yes. All right. So the nominations is basically what we're at.
Right, yeah, like the conversation about who's going in.
Who's going in? So a couple obvious ones. Obviously, Paul is going to say Kyle again. So that was kind of, that was clean. And then Hunter says Josh and Amanda because they basically sent him to go in. And then the surprise one that was left as the cliffhanger was what Nani was going to do.
I want to talk about the Nani thing and let's do that. But I do want to go back to the Hunter thing because I just feel like that can't get yada yada'd. No. Hunter making a dumb decision can't get yada yada'd. But all right, Nani, Jonathan Lilia says, what the hell is Nani doing sending in a vet?
Yeah, so that was odd. I mean, I guess her reasoning was she feels, you know, no one will go after CT and she doesn't want him to kind of skate by and cruise right into a final, which, I mean, I guess makes sense, but also it's not someone who's ever really going to be targeting her, so it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, the CT thing is weird. I think Nani, we've been sleeping on the UK alliance a little bit on this podcast, I think, from what people tell us after. And Nani does raise, like, if you F with the UK, you're effing with all of them. And Georgia in the room is like, that's true. So
yeah.
I think Nani does have a good sense of like the rest of the field and probably better than us and a lot of other people on the show. But it's a little weird because I raised this last week and everybody came for my wig about how I'm like, oh, same he and Wes have been friends for 35 years and like on Champs versus Stars. And I don't mean to like put a voice on that. Like, yes, all of that is true. But like we've seen CT have positive working relationships with basically both sides of the house. So to me, it like kind of stands to reason that Nani is saying, I don't know where you stand, CT. Like, I don't know what's going on with you. So rather than cut my alliance or cut Turbo's alliance, it seems like they also have a bit of a divide in who they're keeping like their loyalty to. So let's throw in CT and see where he stands. I mean, I don't think you want CT on your bad side. you want to be on CT's bad side.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand the logic of, like, CT's being this kind of shifty, like, floaty character. Let's see where he stands.
And for this season, I mean, it's definitely worse to be on the UK bad side than CT. So going forward in a future season, maybe this will come back to bite her. But definitely for this season, it's, I mean, the UK has their tentacles like everywhere, especially with the teams that are gone. Like, they're a vast majority of the teams that are left.
We did get possibly Zach's greatest line of all time, including when he was on The Real World, where he says he's not supposed to go in. He's a figurehead.
That, I was dying. That was so great. That was so great.
Hey, this is going to make no sense to you, but for the probably sliver of the audience who are RuPaul's Drag Race fans also, this was very reminiscent of Latrice Royale's run on All Stars this season. She had been brought back. This was her third time competing on RuPaul's Drag Race. And, like, a lot of the strategy, or, like, her strategic talk was, like, no one's going to send me home. She is, like, the CT of Drag Race, and not just because of her large and in charge size. But she's, like, the favorite. Everyone loves her. Like, the fans go crazy for her. You're never going to send her home. She's just an icon, a legend, has no haters. And, like, I won't spoil this because people can get all willy-nilly about spoilers here. But point is, like, you can't really coast to the end and rest on your laurels like that. And I do hope this kind of, you know, lights the gas, or lights the fire under CT's booty.
Yeah, but I was disappointed how Nani, like, I'm not at this point because this is classic Nani, but how she was, like, so ready to pop off at CT. Like, obviously CT was going to be upset that he was voted in by her, and she was like, what, you're going to be mad? Why are you mad? Like, why are you going to be mad? Like, she has to understand that this is almost a conversation she should have had before this, and being like, CT, look, I don't really know where you stand. I'm going to be voting you in, just to, like, kind of level set, so that way it's not a surprise. I don't know how much time they have, but there was a better way potentially for Nani to handle this whole situation either before or after.
Oh yeah. And that CT gives her the permission to say it was a burn vote. Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe she wanted to make a big swing and say, like, look, like, I'm a player. I'm going after CT. I want to know where you stand. If you're not with me, you're against me, kind of deal. But CT goes to her very calmly and is like, I understand. It was like a burn vote. And she's like, no, you know, like, it's just sort of like, he gave you the permission. And I don't think CT would have been fooled by that. But to his credit, I think he played it very well to, like, not act super mad in that immediate moment.
Yeah, he was still kind of dad CT. It wasn't until the JP incident that we got to see old CT, but here he was still pretty calm.
Anything of note stood out to you in the actual tribunal hearing?
I mean, obviously the Paul and Kyle stuff is, like, it's just, you know, it is kind of what it is. Amanda, you know, trying to take, like, that was a whole interesting thing. Amanda saying that she helped sacrifice her game for Hunter's. I found that to be, like, an interesting kind of a dynamic between the two of them.
Yeah, the whole triangle between Ashley, Hunter, and Amanda is very, very confusing, and I think has only gotten more confusing this season, with very little clarity episode to episode. I want to say that Amanda should have reasoned with Hunter, like, look, we are all we have in this game. I mean, Hunter has Wes. Who knows what Amanda knows, but, like, I am loyal to you. I walked into the tribunal and said, I'm not saying Hunter's name and I'm not saying Ashley's name. You know, Hunter's logic that Amanda should have been more loyal to Hunter than Ashley is bizarre. Amanda did try to cover both of them, and in doing so kind of screwed both of them. But it was not like she threw Hunter under the bus for Ashley or vice versa. But you can't really reason with Hunter. Even Hunter says later, like, I'm man enough to say this is petty, but I'm petty enough to do it. Like, I think that's a great line too. So, hey, what could, you know what? At least Amanda popping off makes good TV, as opposed to, like, reason that would have fallen on deaf ears for Hunter.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there was anything they could have done to sway them one way or another. It was just, I just don't really understand if they hate each other, if they're friends, because I would have thought Hunter and Ashley hated each other, but then they're kind of, like, friendly when she gets eliminated, and then, like, their whole, like, around and around and around. I never know what side of the block they're landing on, if they hate each other, if they're working together. Like, there's no rhyme or reason sometimes.
Was this a stupid decision? Because I want to say then, like, where was Wes? If Wes is really sort of pulling the strings on Hunter, I imagine it's sort of like, you know, Plankton controlling SpongeBob in that one episode. Like, that's how I imagine Wes and Hunter, just like the body and the brain. Anyway,
right.
I'm 2 years old. So, but then I think to myself, like, on its face, I feel like it's stupid. Like, Amanda wouldn't be coming for you. Like, you have bigger fish to fry, that whole argument. But is this really a burn vote of sorts? Is that why Pauly keeps sending in Kyle? Is that why Hunter and Amanda go after each other? Like, is it the easy decision to not rock the boat because you already have some sort of beef?
Yeah, once you have an established vote, it does make it much easier just to keep saying their name, especially because it's so unclear, especially with that, like with this being a double elimination, they were so unclear about how who was going in and when they would be going in. So especially for this one, when there could be two people going in and maybe who knows how many people coming back, that it just, you might as well just go with someone that's a simple vote for you.
In a way, it almost makes the West decision to put in Bananas made sense regardless, but like why that happened so early this season makes a little bit more sense when Wes is coming in. He's uncertain of his relationships. Everyone there is like a potential ally. So let's just keep hitting Bananas so I don't have to hit anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
All right, let's talk about this costume party. Haley Strong with the question of the night here. What's your favorite costume? I assume that just was worn tonight, but you can say.
Yeah, it's just like in general, my favorite costume is wearing, you know, the boring shorts and t-shirt, not wearing a costume because I'm not a costume guy. I thought shorts George's and, one was pretty.
Wait. Shorts and a t-shirt in October?
Just like not doing anything.
I'm dressed as a cold person in the fall.
George's was pretty good. I thought she kind of pulled off the whatever that character's name is from that movie that I didn't see, but she looked like her.
Yeah, she was dressed as the same as Kara, right? But you preferred Georgia's.
Yeah, I prefer Georgia's.
That's a swing at Kara. God, what's her name? I didn't see that movie either. Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Don't at me, I got it. All right. I thought Amanda's cat, like, well, I thought it was like a superhero thing, theme. I like playing Guess the Theme, where you see like people's pictures that clearly don't make sense and trying to figure it out. So like, I thought it was superheroes. And then I see Amanda as a cat and I'm like, that's a cute cat. But oh, I guess she's Catwoman. What was Farmer Leroy? He was just wearing a straw hat.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there was no theme, or maybe Leroy's too cool for the theme.
There was a theme.
Okay. There was a theme.
Or you're saying it was just generally costume party. I don't know.
Yeah.
Worst costume.
I mean, usually for costumes, I would say the majority of costumes are like some type of superheroes. So if there was no theme.
No. That is not true.
You don't think
so? There's literally, you could dress as absolutely everything else in the entire world, and you're saying the majority. But
I think if you took the total costumes worn on Halloween, the percentage that are just superheroes would be the greatest percentage.
All right. Well, now we have a different conversation happening. Percentage of costumes worn Halloween as opposed to the majority of just costumes. But I think this is a hot take. I think someone should look into this. I'm sure there's a statistic. But we have too much social media to go down this hole. So let's talk about the fight that erupts because Zach, for a change, is running his mouth and is basically having this conversation with Kyle that, like, obviously Kara is still in love with Kyle. And then he says something like nasty about her being like Captain Jack Sparrow. And Kara overhears this.
Well, I thought what he said was that Kara's ex-boyfriend is dating someone like Captain Jack Sparrow.
Ah, okay.
Maybe I misheard that. Yeah, I thought he was talking. Yeah. But I also don't think he's necessarily fully wrong that Kara's in love with Kyle still. But also, just as someone who's like a good friend, you probably shouldn't be talking behind her back like that. So that wasn't a good look, but it is still classic Zach.
Well, that is what's so crazy about this web of lies we're living in with this triangle here, because Zach and Kyle are really tight. Zach and Bananas are really tight. Zach and Kara are really tight. Kara is tight with Bananas, who is working with Kyle. Like, it's like, why are we still pretending that this is an issue? Like, Kara should just, like, chill out. And we'll talk about his real motivations, but they've both had opportunities to cut each other and Kyle hasn't taken them. So again, like, better the devil you know, like, what is the problem? And that is sort of, I don't agree that she's in love with him, because then she starts like, I've never been happy in a relationship. I'm the happiest I've ever been. I'm so in love with him. And we get Natalie. I mean, MTV just keeps trying to be like, they're really in love. Like, Natalie's like, oh, they're such a match. We hang outside the show. Like, yeah. Trust me, ignore Danielle.
It's I see them in real life. It's real. It's definitely real. I went to a club appearance with them one time. It's definitely real.
But I don't doubt that she's super happy with Polly. I don't doubt that at all. You'd have to be to deal with his bullshit. But, like, clearly, maybe it's not love. There's still something going on that's bothering you. Because if you're totally over someone, why every single move she makes is, like, centered around hate, her hatred for Kyle. Maybe it's just that she's still upset at the way he hurt her. Like, maybe she's not over the pain of it. Like, but Zach is not wrong here in the sense that there must be something going on, even about how angry she gets about it. I mean, she's supposed to be mad at Zach for, like, talking bad about her. But then why is she saying, like, what he's saying is not true. I'm in love with Polly. Like, that's not about your friendship with Zach. So it clearly what upset her is the love thing, not the Zach thing. Anyway.
Right. I'm also very skeptical when you have to keep pushing and saying out loud, no, I am really happy. This is, I'm happy. I'm happy. See, I'm smiling. I'm happy. Like, there's always like a sense of like, well, if you have to keep saying it, maybe you're not actually that happy.
Which I think is an interesting juxtaposition between this. And then we see Georgia and Bear, like, just kissing, like having nonsense chat about kids and like, oh, they're obsessed with each other and they're psycho. Like, that was just like adorable little moment that was not about like proving anything.
Totally. That seems super genuine.
But yeah, this is the moment we already talked about yesterday that Polly goes after Kyle because, quote, Carl likes it when I get in his face. Again, I can't tell if this is like some weird, creepy sex thing or if it's generally that Carl is hurt. Like, I don't know. I don't think she knows. I think it's like a mix of emotions.
Yeah, I think no one knows exactly what to do, so they just revert to their like basic instincts of yelling and fighting.
Yeah, this got really ugly. Like, alcohol, again, is the real enemy this episode, and we get Kyle dressed as, like, Cher Horowitz, basically, headbutting, going forehead to forehead, tip-top toes with Polly. And this, I just, like, you know, Jonathan was trying to help me here, and he was like, oh, he just called her a slut. And I was like, I'm not watching this moment. Like, this is just, like, the cartoon version of a dust cloud with, like, sparks coming out of it. Like, I couldn't see what was happening.
Yeah, the Kyle and Polly are big on the forehead stare off. That's like their go-to move.
How much of this is for the camera? How much of this is real? How much of this is alcohol? I get some percentages.
Yeah, I feel like it starts with trying, like, Polly trying to impress Kara and a little bit of alcohol and hemming it up. And then, like, any play fighting or whatever, once you start getting into it, it starts becoming real.
Yeah, I do think, and this might be giving Polly too much credit, Polly being such, like, a fan of the show. Like, we've established against my will that Polly is a fan of the challenge. I believe that. But he, like, so I do think he sees, like, okay, I'm bananas and this is my Wes. And so, like, I will keep this up. So I think that's probably 25% of it. I think 50% of it is, like, alcohol-fused, testosterone-induced anger. And whatever percent I've left is, like, this weird, like, Kara's, like, I'm a hero and I'm fighting for Kara's honor / sex-induced, like, weirdness.
Maybe they are meant for each other because they are, like, wackadoo type people.
Speaking of not meant for each other, we get this, like, heart-wrenching 2 seconds with Leroy and Cam and Theo.
Oh, Leroy. So sad. I hate to see Leroy sad.
I want to be clear that Cam is doing absolutely nothing wrong here. But
nothing wrong.
She is making the wrong choice. Like, she clearly did not watch Love Island. You got to go Theroy over Theroy. Oh, my God. Leroy over Theo all day long.
Well, that'd be a twist. That'd be a fun couple name.
Leroy. Maybe we'll imagine if in, like, the next one you could have a same gender pair and then it's Theo and Leroy.
I'm worried, though, the fact that this was kind of brought up, I think, in the premiere of the second episode that Leroy was worried that Cam would bring down his game, like, distract him. And now we're kind of seeing another clip of it. I'm hoping this doesn't give, like, a full payoff of something, one of them screwing the other one over and Leroy being sent home or something like that.
I mean, Leroy is totally screwed anyway because Shailene is terrible.
Terrible.
So whatever. Like, this is not Leroy season again unless he gets double elimination fixed.
Yep.
We mostly covered the Killing Floor. Everyone votes the same way until we get to Turbo's summit.
His little poem soliloquy about times back home, war and peace, a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, I imagine this might be how some listeners listen to me talk during the podcast, and they're just like, who's the first team that got voted in? Just who's your vote? Who's your vote for the first
TJ's
team?
TJ's the best. It's like, I don't know, dude. Just pick a team.
Yeah, that was... He seemed, like, generally pissed. Like I think the difference between TJ's role and, like, Jeff Probst, besides, like, almost everything, is, like... And that's not even negative or positive, just generally very different, is, like... Jeff being the executive producer and having like all of this control, I feel like when crazy shit happens, it doesn't frustrate him openly. Like, you could see him enjoying it and like knowing what it's going to look like on TV. Yep. Whereas like TJ got absolutely no enjoyment out of this Turbo speech. Like, he was genuinely like, what is your vote, son? Yeah.
Yeah, especially because he probably didn't know what he was saying. He doesn't know who this guy is. If it was like someone like a Leroy, someone he's like, you know, history with, and he's going off on a speech, I guess he could be more invested. But Turbo is like talking about, you know, Turkey war and battle. He's like, what are you talking about, dude? Just like, give me your name.
So Turbo breaks rank and votes for Kyle and Maddie. Again, like, I don't understand it. Maybe it is. Maybe this was Nani being like, I'm going to vote for CT and Julia. You pause a bit and vote for Kyle and Maddie. Like, how are you not discussing this? You know, how the votes are going to come out.
It's very odd. And do you think there's a problem? I feel, because now kind of, I feel like this is basically the third straight week of almost all the teams voting for the team that they nominate. Do you think there should have been a rule where you can nominate your team, but then when it comes to the voting, you can't vote for that team?
Nah, because that, I see what you're saying, because this is going to be a very boring progression if it stays like this. I don't think this is a flaw in the setup of the game. I think it's just the classic, like, first few weeks, not trying to make waves. I already put them in. I'm not going to vote for another team and get them pissed at me. And this tribunal is made up of people who are not necessarily clearly aligned with each other. Like, I think once you start getting, like, top teams who are working together, they'll start narrowing in on some target.
Yeah, and I wonder if also the penalty of... If they just tie, I think they should be given a chance to tie. And then it's like, if you can't decide, then you're all going in, or one of you going in. Like, it shouldn't be like if you tie immediately. There should be some wiggle room where then you get like a discussion off the tie. Like, I almost think the penalty is almost too quick and drastic, if that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I mean, right. We don't know exactly what it's going to be. Someone tweeted to us like speculation that this, like, these three would be up for elimination and the bottom three from the challenge would be the tribunal. I think it's probably more likely that, like, the three, or maybe they meant the three voted in teams would become the tribunal, which I think is pretty likely in terms of they would just vote like one of those three teams down. I still think, I get what you're saying, that they should be able to like fully deliberate, but I think that's what happened last week, where TJ gives them a few minutes of peer pressure of like, you don't want to see what happens, which is implying that you're going to get screwed and you should change your vote right now.
Yeah.
Because they they had a tie last week and then Ashley changed.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, it wasn't just the last team that had to flip. Okay. So I guess they've kind of implemented that already.
But yeah, I would like them to just do it. I think that's sort of what you're saying. Like, I would like them to just do it.
And just flush it out.
The vote gets cast. Okay. Here's what's going to happen. If you can't come to a decision, like, rather than TJ, although it was great TV to just like pressure Cam, if he had just said, if you don't decide in the next 2 minutes, like he says, the three people up for elimination are going to decide one of you to go in. And then I feel like we wouldn't even be getting this close to the ties, because they still, I mean, they can speculate, but they still don't know.
Exactly. Because then you don't even need a full team to flip. You just need one of the team, one partner of a team to flip, which will very likely happen. So I'm sure it'll happen soon.
So Kyle and Maddie get selected. And he says that he's not picking Kara because he really owes her from last season, and says to the camera, like, I still care about her. I had the thought, like, so then he picks Natalie and JP. My first thought here was that, okay, but also it must help that Carr and Theo are a way stronger team that you would be afraid to go against.
Probably also, yeah.
Carr had the same thought. She said, this wasn't an effing Olive Branch, kids. He didn't want to risk going home. Tilted laugh cry emoji, but props to Maddie. She was ready to throw down because she's a boss. Heart emoji. I agree with Kara. I don't think Kyle gains anything. It seems like Kyle really just wants out of the drama with them. So, like, I don't think Kyle gains anything by sending Kara in except perpetuating it. Like, this is definitely perpetuated by Kara and Polly the most. But you're not going to call out Kara and Theo if you want to win.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, from Kyle's perspective, it makes sense to try to stop the barrage of, you know, clearly Polly and Ninja are a very strong team, and there's a good chance there are going to be many more tribunals to come. So if you can try to do something, even if it's like a clear facade about it, it's worth taking the chance of like, all right, can you back off me? I'm not coming after you. Like, go after someone else. Like, we're fine.
Right. And then this was very confusing to me. JP and Natalie then get an option to choose the third team, and it will be a challenge where two of the three of them go home. Do you like giving the power to pick the third team to JP and Natalie like this?
Yeah, I thought it was super fun. I thought it was a great way to do it rather than voting in a second team and having two different versions of an elimination. I thought this was a great idea. Loved it.
Yeah, I like the element of surprise. It worked out. It was interesting. It was entertaining. If I'm a player on the season, like, do I want to be told how it's going to work before? Yeah. Like, you know, do I want to be like, who would JP, trying to think like, okay, who would JP and Natalie pick, that kind of thing. But that's not what we're here for. That's not the challenge. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. JP ends up picking CT and Julia, which is pretty unpredictable. And everybody freaks out.
Everyone. And then, not to piggyback off Zach's first great line of the night, but he had another great line of the night when JP turns to CT and goes, welcome to the challenge. And then Zach almost dropping the fourth wall going, did he just say Chris? Like, I love what he said, Chris. Like, did he just welcome Chris to the challenge? Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, honestly, we're never seeing JP again, right?
I don't think so. I think JP is done forever. I think Gus is done forever. All we need is like four or five of these newbies to hit, and I think we have a good bunch. I think, you know, Turbo, Georgia, Bear, like, they're clear ones, Ninja. So I mean, I think there's some clear ones that'll stick around.
You're ready to call Gus out while he's still in the show?
Yeah.
That's a fire laughing take. You're gone laughing. I mean, I guess last week we could have said JP was never coming back too. Mm-hmm. So that's fair. Okay, so Josh Creek said, who should Natalie and JP have called out?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess the simplest would have been the man than Josh, right? Because they're kind of like the lowest on the totem pole.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, it's unclear if, so Josh gave some suggestions of Jenna and Gus or Leroy and Shailene. Like, I guess if the attitude is just like, I need to win, so I want to pick Leroy. You wouldn't pick here, but Gus maybe. But I guess if your thought is like, I'm probably going to lose this, so let me take the swing for the return spot and pick CT. Like, maybe that's not a bad decision. I don't know. Like, if you already think you're going to lose to Kyle, maybe you just like, F it. I'm going to show that I'm wild and I'm willing to come take them down. And I'm going to say, welcome to the challenge to CT. That I don't think he appreciated. He like understood.
No.
But JP says, justifying my vote on Twitter. JP said, justifying my vote on the first challenge, he called me in. I guess he meaning CT. Second, I wouldn't go against my friends. So me and Natalie were just fair. Not afraid of losing anything. Shrug emoji. So what I'm getting from this is almost nothing, but that I guess like, they have relationships we haven't seen. Natalie's probably connected to Josh or Big Brother, and JP's become friends with some people maybe that we haven't gotten.
Right.
He was at the table, I think, with Wes, and so maybe Hunter, and maybe that's the whole thing.
Plus, if you're JP and you probably never, if you've never really seen the show and you're just looking at CT now, like, he's not the most intimidating person right now, so you can kind of understand it from that regard.
Did you like Ring Toss?
Yeah, I mean, they've done this type of challenge before. I don't know if they've ever done it with three people. They've never done it with two people, but yeah, it plays well. It I thought, you know, it's quick, it's fast, it gives off a lot of the challenge strengths. Yeah, I thought it was a very solid elimination.
Yeah, I wish CT had thought this through a bit more, because I think what happens to CT here is, like, the first person to break JP's is going to be the winner, right? Like, once CT has to have both of them, he's sort of getting caught up with JP and Kyle's able to get the ring out. Like, that, like, from a strategy standpoint, I think Kyle, I don't know if it was intentional, but Kyle had the right play to get one ring from JP right away and then just sort of worry about CT at the end.
Right. Right. That's why I'm always skeptical about these, like, one and done. Like, I wish there was a way to do it in, like, a best two out of three or even just two rounds or something. I'm never a big fan of, like, just the one shot deals.
I agree. Once Maddie won, I was like, wait, is that it? Like, that's just over. But I brushed right over the real standout moment of this is that there will be one male winner, one female winner, and they will form the new team.
So we kind of talked, well, I feel like either last week or 2 weeks, there was a listener question about something that TJ said that indicated that maybe at some point the teams all get switched up. Right.
This was from the Alliance podcast I mentioned last week. Okay. That the Megan there noticed that TJ was calling them allies, not partners or teammates.
Right. So, I mean, this definitely adds credence to the fact that at some point they may just totally flip up the teams.
I absolutely loved this. I kind of knew it wasn't going to pay off based on how much the edit was like, it might result in a new team. Like, it might do this. Mm-hmm. This is Love Island. Like, this is what's so great about Love Island is that the teams, like, there's no loyalty to the players. They'll cut 15 people. They'll make new couples. And so I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Clearly, they've been watching Love Island for casting. But I loved this. Like, have no loyalty to the players. Be willing to cut 4 people at one time and just make new teams. Like, I hope this happens, mm-hmm. like, every 3 weeks.
Yeah, and this is the type of thing you can do when you're not subjected to keeping pairs together for made up rivalries or exes that have to play into storylines. When it's just pairs that are just randomly selected, you can mix and match and do anything in storylines, and like, it's not going to change. Well, it's just going to change for the better, and you don't have to force new exes and rivalry storylines.
It's very interesting though that it could have ended up as like 2 quote unquote vets. Like, it could have been CT and Natalie or right. whoever else was in this. So that would have been very interesting, but yeah, you're right. It wouldn't be, no one would care in terms of the format being chopped up. Maddie wins pretty easily, you know, to her credit. I know they were making it like Natalie's garbage, but I don't think Natalie's garbage. I think Maddie had an impressive showing here.
Yeah, I think that's the takeaway, is that Maddie, like, and maybe add her to the list of like a keeper from this new crop, because she was great. Very good.
And then we were all hoping, I'm sure, for CT and Maddie pairing, which would have been absolutely amazing. But unfortunately, Kyle wins.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, honestly, just because I'm so sick of the Kyle and Paulie stuff, like, even JP might have just been better just because I just don't want to see them butting heads again. But yeah, I think basically everyone on the planet, I guess, except for Nani, was rooting for CT.
So let's do a little eulogy here. Are we seeing Julia again?
Very unlikely.
So the only thing that should be noted here with Julia is apparently, and this came from a tweet from Kara, that Hunter and Julia actually hooked. It was like an unseen hookup.
Yeah, I saw that. That was very interesting. I feel like there's always a few of those that they don't air throughout the season. If it doesn't add anything, especially with, you know, Julia going home so early, it probably wouldn't have added much also. So that makes sense. But yeah, good, interesting of to note.
So that's the only thing, like, if we're desperate for an ex for Hunter, you know, besides Ashley, which would be amazing, but like,
right.
You know, who knows? But what about Natalie?
Yeah, honestly, this, like, the way she was kind of edited and portrayed and where she kind of fits into the challenge world right now, I would not be surprised if we don't see her again.
Yeah, I was absolutely stunned that this is how this ended for Natalie. Like, she was basically just completely dragged the entire season by the edit. Either she was unseen or it was people saying like how embarrassing and terrible she is. The one thing is, Natalie's sister is an absolute beast. Like, I haven't seen her compete, but I've just like seen her Instagram, And, you know, she's like got like a physique like Kara, right? Like she's just like super muscly. And I would be happy if they ever do Bloodlines again. I would not be super thrilled if they did Bloodlines, but if they did and brought Natalie and her sister, I think they would be like a boss team. So that's my pitch for Natalie's sister on the challenge. I know I didn't come up with this. Natalie's been tweeting about it, but I support it.
And I guess that's how they could bring Julia and Liz back too if they did Bloodlines. So.
Oh, can't wait for that. Sign me up. What about, we already discussed JP and CT tells you he'll be back and he'll be stronger. So I didn't think this was an embarrassing road for CT. I think he really did have to do two against one against Kyle and JP, and he really held his own. Like, it was not like, oh God, CT got slaughtered. Like, we still see that CT can go beast mode. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so I was, so we'll see him again stronger.
Definitely. This was a much, much worse for like the ego and legacy for Bananas last week than for CT this week.
And then Alan Ridgway says, can one of Polly, Kara, or Kyle just leave already so we can watch something besides the three of them?
So what did you make of Polly calling out Kyle to try to go in against him one-on-one and TJ saying no?
I made nothing of that. Polly had voted himself into elimination when he had the chance, TJ would not have said no. Like, that was a false offer.
I thought there was a chance TJ would be like, if you want to go take him out, go come down right now and do it. Especially with the format of where this challenge was set up, where it was basically a guy goes home and a girl goes home and then they can regroup the team. So basically, Matt, like Ninja could have just had a new partner.
I mean, the precedent for this, right, is Jordan, except he did it in the space of the game. Like, he flipped all the cards. I still think, like, if Pauly had any sincerity in that offer, Pauly would have been dressed in his uniform and, like, TJ, I'm actually voting myself in tonight to take Kyle out. Like, to have voted somebody in and then be like, or I guess Kyle, like, Kyle got voted in or whatever. But he could have said, like, he could have voted himself in and then called Kyle out. Mm-hmm. Like, he had the opportunity within the bounds of the game. So I just think that was a complete for TV moment. And TJ knew it. The producers knew it. We all knew it.
Oh, they just need a face off already just with this so they could just be over.
Yeah. Like Liz Nolan, I'll give her, throw her a bone and read her a tweet. Loving this Polly v Kyle feud, but low key starting to feel bad for Kyle. Like, it's over. Time to move on. Dancing girl emoji.
Yeah. What we need is next week for neither of those teams to be in the tribunal. And then the tribunal will be like, listen, we need this to end. Like, we're voting in like Kyle or Polly, and then they're going to vote in the other one so that they could just send each other home.
I mean, are we in a situation, though, where like Polly and Ninja will always be in the tribunal? Like, what could take them out?
Yeah. I mean, especially with, you know, more and more teams drop out. So they just are even better. So unless there's a point where the tribunal cuts down from 3 to 2 or even just 3 to 1. But right now they're looking like a very likely team to be in the majority of them.
Tom Palmer says, is Polly and Kyle the era defining rivalry the way Wes and Bananas used to be prior to Polly becoming the number one active male challenger?
That is the darkest timeline.
Yeah. I mean, I think Polly wants to be, I think like he consciously is trying to be that person or make that this rivalry, but it's not like there's nothing of substance about it. And no. Kyle, I don't think is participating. Yes, he's participating in the fight. But I don't think Kyle wants to be a part of this narrative, much like our girl Taylor Swift.
Yeah, and the reason why like the Bananas and West feuds and someone like the Kenny and like those feuds like were real because there was genuine disdain and dislike and backstory between them. It wasn't just like a girl in between them and now it should be over.
Mike Christensen says, not a single UK person has gone home yet. How dangerous is that potential block?
Yeah, and it's growing by the day. I mean, now, you know, 4 teams are gone, so they're making up even more of a majority. So I think next week, I think someone has to take a shot at getting some of these UK people out.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that the move? I think the right strategy here were Cam and Davon's strategy of like, you can't beat them, join them. I want them on my team. If you have no UK people on the team, should you be taking strikes at them or should you be trying to embed yourself within them? Because I just think it's too big of a block to take that strike because they'll come back at you, you know, 10 times harder.
But it's almost too big of a block to join in because like if they're already 6-7 teams, whatever it is, why do they need even more? like they already have a pretty good majority. They might as well just start going after everyone else.
Yeah, that's true too. It is interesting when Zach was trying to talk to Georgia about his station. He was sort of like, we're not that close, but I'm trying to finesse the UK thing. So there are even fractions in that. Like, I don't know how deep into that Kyle really is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Kyle doesn't seem as entrenched as some of the newer bred ones.
All right. We have some 5-star reviews before we get to all of our many segments. Actually, let's do Prospect of the Week while we're talking about Substance.
Ooh, Prospect of the Week. So I'll go with Maddie. She dominated the elimination, is, you know, just trying to stay much out of like the crazy stupid drama, but still being involved in stuff. So yeah, I'll go with Maddie.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think she was my pick as well. I think she's the clear pick. So congrats to Maddie, Prospect of the Week. We got a couple 5-star reviews. So thank you guys for keeping these pouring in. We are up to 380 5-star reviews. I think we're going to get to 400
yep.
by the end of the season. So thank you. Coming. We really appreciate it. So thank you to JV10, L. Mitchell. I might have read these already. 0813, PTM 909. That I know is new because the review was, I don't need them to be able to differentiate between Jenna and Mama Day. I'm just here for the emojis. and Far, who shouted out our theme song, our great theme song from Will from America. Thank you so much. And Rai Ga Ho. So thank you so much.
Yes. Keep them coming.
If you want to leave a 5-star review, you can do so at robhizzlewebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And trust, we are going to deserve it after we get through this social media segment.
Yes.
But first,
drinking game.
Yes.
So a bunch of mentions and a bunch of variety of mentions. So we have three mentions of rookie, a burn vote, tribunal partners voting differently, two flashbacks to earlier in the season, and a bunch of flashbacks to like earlier seasons, which was very fun, but that's not included. Ashley's money steal actually got another mention. I didn't think that would come up again the rest of the year. And then two British slangs. So a total of 10. Got pretty sloshed.
As long as Hunter's on the show, we will get the money steal mentions.
Yes, that's probably likely.
Do you have one for this week?
I do. I thought of it because of how Kyle tried to proposition Georgia about trying to blackmail for the vote. So anytime someone uses a future season to try to get something good or something bad or anything of substance, take a drink.
All right. I like that. I am going to offer up when Turbo is subtitled or you have no idea what he's talking about, take a drink.
Perfect.
And that could go for anyone, actually. When anyone is subtitled or you have no idea what they're saying because they're drunk. Like, I think you could drink during the Kyle and Pauly drama on that. So thank you to Kyle Picard for keeping all of this nonsense in order.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
Especially when we do these right after the episode. If they cut the kill it.
All right. So let's talk. So, it takes a village. Megan Elizabeth and I were, it's not just right after the episodes. It's all week long with this nonsense. So Megan Elizabeth sent us an email over the week. I was also following this. It was lit. I think it started, Megan thinks it started with, Theo, but I mean with Kara, and that definitely caused some ripples. But I think this drama, and people can correct me because I don't know, was started with a tweet by Theo. Somebody tweeted at him, how are you and Devon doing these days? And Theo said, I'm good. Not sure if she's forgiving me for not fancying her back, though. And, you know, just like a normal person would, Devon went out of control. Mm-hmm. So Devon wrote, quote, for not fancying her back, I ... laughing gif. And Amanda wrote back in all caps, ha 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 ha, what a effing joke. She don't want your needle D, no ball having skinny A balloon head bitch, bye. And Devon said, sis, LMAO, I read that tweet and was like, what? Laugh cry emoji, laugh cry emoji, laugh cry emoji. The selective memory is real. And Amanda said, un-effing real, he wishes, SMFH. And then Theo wrote to them, this is an interesting emoji. The UK emojis are throwing me off. Eyebrow raise, flat mouth emoji. Okay, then. Don't get mad at me because you literally cried when you went kiss Ashley and he swiftly moved his head back. A Kung Fu Panda gif. And Amanda said, ha, 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 you wish that effing happened? By the way, once you lie and make shit up, your word will never be valid again in the Twitter kingdom. Enjoy drowning in your lies, loser. Wink kiss emoji.
Brutal.
Amanda said, lie. I mean, sorry. Theo said, lied, dot, dot. Yeah, yeah. We'll see about who lies out of us, dot, dot. Europe. I see. I want to say, I don't want to read something I wouldn't read, like, the American slang equivalent of. But you're a blue. See, I don't know if this is like an okay thing to say. Whatever. You're a liar. Same as your best mate, Ashley. What reason would I ever have to lie about anything? Dot, dot. Don't answer. It's a rhetorical question. Like, I don't want to be on the record as being recorded of saying like a slang term that could be like extremely offensive. So,
right. That's whatever. Right.
And Amanda just responded, lol. And then Devon, out of this thread, retweeted an Instagram comment she wrote. LMAO, I absolutely was attracted to him. That wasn't the lie. The lie was that it wasn't mutual. How would she know this about Kara? I'm reading this edit. How would she know when she spent the majority of the season in the room getting dot, dot, never mind, facepalm emoji. Okay. So then Devon also said, if that's the picture he, meaning Theo, wants to paint, that's fine. All I know is that wasn't what he said to me, CT, Wes, Zahida, Georgia, Ash, Bear, and even Leroy. He told all of these people he liked me.
It's a lot
Maybe
of people.
He said it for game purposes. She's got receipts, apparently. Maybe he said it for game purposes. I don't know. But in the end, it all worked in my favor. Upside down smiley emoji. Okay. Ooh, so here's where Kara gets involved. This comes from Megan. Kara said something on live about Devon crushing on Theo, but Theo didn't want anything to do with her. Devon says it was mutual, and Theo told multiple people he liked her. Okay. So then I listened to this live because what do I have going on? I watched a couple of, let me pull my notes out from this because I don't mess around, although apparently I do because it's telling me that, like, I need a password. Oh, here we go. Nope, the notes are not here. Okay, well, we'll carry on. So, on you can tell I'm, you know, I am not good at this because I don't have, like, control of my notes app where I can't do, like, a long text and then submit it. Anyway. Devon said, so what Kara was doing an Instagram live with Polly, and I have to say she looks unbelievably happy, like, good for her, whatever. She was asked on this live why she took him back, and she was like, because he sent me so many gifts. No, but what she really meant, she said, like, he worked so hard, you haven't seen it, I had like 20 gifts appear at my door, you know, you can't buy happiness. I guess I know you can. No, but she was just like, he tried really hard. It looks like Polly has moved to Montana. And she seems really happy. So
good for them.
That's that. But she was like, ooh, can I say this? I'm going to get in so much trouble. I'm going to say it. Like, Theo never liked Devon, and I don't know what Devon's talking about, kind of thing. So Devon went off on Kara. She said, Kara, weren't you the side piece who became the main piece, then became the side piece again? Fake left, just to turn around and come right back to being the main and or side piece yet again. And then did a gif that Plainview Sue would love of Phaedra Park saying, have several seats, darling. And then Kayla jumped in and said, Day, you may not love me, but I had to retweet. And then Devon tweeted, she was probably sitting there in Danielle's lingerie, girl, bye. And then said, I don't mind her speaking on the situation. She's entitled to say whatever she wants, just like I'm entitled to respond however I want. And the final hammer dealt by Day, she said, me going to sleep, knowing I'm not being cheated on. Like, smirk emoji, good night. Brutal, absolutely brutal. Okay. So that was that. Devon also made a video, YouTube video that I've mentioned several times that I watched, and Amanda tweeted at Devon, looks like they didn't want to show the guys tying me up against my will either. I guess if you don't constantly play victim on TV, they don't want to show that shit. Shrug emoji.
Yikes.
Devon said, I'm going to talk about it in my recap. Don't worry. I see that. And I'm like, shit, that means I got to watch her recap. Okay. So it actually ended up being pretty good. So Devon and Amanda are saying that three men on the show taped Amanda when she was having that fight with Josh that night, taped Amanda up. Devon is saying that they taped Amanda's face all the way around her head, like mummified her face in tape while Amanda like screamed and cried and kicked and was like not in on whatever joke it was. Devon was careful to note that it didn't start maliciously, but it got out of hand. And then like Devon had to spend like a long time, like pulling basically Amanda's hair out with the tape. And then it was just like absolutely horrible. And that like it deserved an apology. And Kara also mentioned this incident on her live. And Kara was like, I don't really know what happened, but like they like wrapped her in a blanket and it was like bananas put her in a blanket and it was like, so whatever, like not a big deal. Just like wrapped her up in a blanket. Ha ha. And Paulie's in the background being like, it was really not okay. Actually, I was disturbed by it. and Kara was like, what? Like, I don't remember that. And she was talking like this. She like put her finger to her mouth and was like, I don't remember that. Like, what? That's so weird that you're saying that. And she was like, yeah, no, like Amanda was crying. Like it was messed up. And then Paulie says in the background, like, you know, like them not airing that is really protecting them because they would have gotten like their ass handed to them if they had shown it. Okay, so then people start coming for Kara fairly for like completely downplaying that. So somebody wrote like, oh, you're trying to be an advocate for women empowerment. Doesn't seem you really care. Like men are tying up a woman, SMH, whatever. And so she retweets this and says, where was Amanda's outrage when Kyle punched the wall by my head on Final Reckoning because I didn't want to talk to him? Nowhere. Where is your outrage to the men who tied her? Crickets, you are literally mad at me for not being angry enough. LMAO, bye. I see what she's, first of all, her first line of like, well, bad shit's happened to me is not an excuse.
Right.
And yes, people should be outraged at the men who quote tied her, as Kara's saying. But like, she also deserves like some outrage because she like, it was so gross to watch her just be like, it was like, oh, cause then after Paulie said it was disturbing, Kara goes, well, after the sixth or seventh hour of her not letting anyone sleep, like, what do you want? So, like, she then excuses it after Paulie himself is saying, like, it was disturbing.
Ugh, Kara's okay. The worst.
I mean, the men are the worst who did this.
Right.
One, but, like, Kara also.
The worst adjacent.
Okay. So then Kara unearths some tea being spilled by Challenge T911. Kara says, also, since you guys are so outspoken about all of the things you are so offended by, I'm just curious if any of you have any comments on this. Actually, this might have not been related. This was might have been before, but whatever. Asking for a friend, actually just literally anyone, everyone, at Veronica, at Jemmy, at Kayla, at Marie. So I think this was unconnected, unrelated to her shit.
Mm-hmm.
So Challenge T starts tweeting all of these screen caps from Mikey P, who is Kayla's boyfriend. And she says, I'm appalled that Mikey P, who is, quote, standing up against bullying and suicide prevention, has bullied and belittled individual on Twitter. And then this person posted like 30 tweets of Mikey P tweeting, I don't understand all the hate that she, meaning Kara, dishes out towards Kayla. Does Kara remember when she looked like this and posted like a bad picture of her? Calls her a garbage bag. You lost, you garbage bag. You def let, oh, I'm not even going to say this, of a horrible accusation. And then tweets all these fat shaming things, not at anyone, just generally. I love when hashtag fat girls post bikini pics, being delusional is a disease, and like continues, like, I don't want to be fat like you, like not to Card, not to anyone, just like 50 tweets of him doing this. And then Challenge 2 tweeted, saving the best for last. Three tweets from Mikey P basically saying that anytime someone says boss bitch, like they're terrible. So one example, most girls that post that they are a quote boss bitch have nothing to offer in a relationship or in life. And then provided a tweet from Kayla, his girlfriend, saying, haha, yes, hashtag boss bitch to somebody else on Twitter.
Oh my God. Digging deep for receipts there.
Okay, so that happened. Couple things to just wrap up with Day's video. Day had, I wish I had my notes, but Day had a very interesting thing that she mentioned that, like, the fight between Amanda and Josh, that, like, a lot of stuff where it looks like Amanda was just going crazy was actually instigated. So, like, Cam and Amanda's fight was actually because Cam was angry that Amanda went and talked to Ashley about, like, politicking in the game. And Cam was like, I'm the partnership. You need to talk to me. I totally can see her saying that. And that's what started that fight. And then Amanda and Josh's fight was because Amanda was, like, running around playing her challenge game. And Josh is used to a big brother game where when you're on the block, you lay low. And that caused friction where Josh was mad at Amanda. And Amanda was like, you don't trust me. Like, this is how I play the game. This is, like, the challenge. So Davon raising that there, and she's uniquely positioned to see this, that, like, their differences in the Big Brother game and the mm-hmm. challenge game, like, created that friction. That's interesting. Is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is
especially when you see Josh pop off during the tribunal this episode. So it seems like he's kind of coming around to Amanda's way of playing. But right.
And for Josh to be one to understand someone popping off is also kind of interesting.
So then a couple things to wrap up from the Zach was Zach accidental. Where are Bananas and Zach now? Bananas tweeted, anyone who can watch this clip, the clip of Wes and Zach in the mud, and honestly say Zach passing the ball to Wes was accidental and they weren't working together is either in denial, delusional, dumb, or all three. And then Amanda said, was it also accidental when he told Wes? So this is Zach told Wes to tell Amanda to pick Bananas and Morgan to go against if we were thrown in instead of choosing Zach. Accidents are crazy. Hashtag the shit they should have shown. Hashtag fraud. So I guess Amanda is saying too that Zach, like, actively was like, throw in Bananas. Don't throw us in.
Yeah.
And Amanda said, this is why Josh and I had that argument slash convo in my room, because I exposed Wes and Zach further in Bananas' room in front of everyone. Shrug emoji. Then, of course, I stayed up all night taunting them. Tilted laugh cry emoji. Wow.
What a time.
The other stuff that Bananas is getting up to is he's been releasing YouTube videos of, like, him and Tony. They stuck around after they got eliminated on last season and did some sightseeing in South Africa. So he, like, cut a pretty professional video, but it's really just them drinking. I don't know. I watched, like, half of it before I got bored. And Morgan and Bananas are, like, going on the road and doing a YouTube video as well. Let's see if I have anything else. Any first reactions to all of that nonsense?
This is a 24/7 show if there has ever been one. I mean, it's just nonstop. Like, everyone's doing something to keep themselves in the spotlight at all times, when the show is airing, when the show is not airing, in between airings. It's impressive. Like, it never used to be like this. But these new people just bring, like, this new level of off the field drama.
Here's a funny note to end on, and this one's going to leave on the cutting room floor, but it's kind of my favorite thing from the last week. So Josh, first I see Josh write, got emotional last night. This is a few days ago. Got emotional last night, drunk tweeted and lost 300 followers. Y'all weren't real homies anyway. Peace emoji, laugh cry emoji. So then I'm like, okay, I obviously have to go back. And it's like a series of 12 tweets. So he writes, life is effing amazing. First drunk tweet. Then writes, don't ever get hyped on yourself because it's not that serious, promise. Hashtag drunk tweet. Then he writes, a lot of your favorites are clout chasers. Hashtag drunk tweet. My personality gets my bag. I don't need the hype. Hashtag drunk tweet. God is great. Praise him and not bullshit influencers. Hashtag drunk tweet. Love yourself first. I'm trying to do a call and response now. Because love yourself first.
Oh boy.
You know, no, say hashtag drunk tweet.
Oh, hashtag drunk tweet.
I'm out. Peace emoji.
Hashtag drunk tweet.
Treat everyone like you just met at Rob Gronkowski.
Hashtag drunk tweet.
Treat women with effing respect.
These are all from one night? What is he rambling about?
It's all within 14 hours. Like, it was all, when I screen grabbed it, it was 14 hours ago. So it's all within the same hour.
Oh my goodness.
Then just peace emoji, heart emoji, no hashtag. And then writes, so the hashtags are over, but then writes, when you meet a real soul, keep them, at Amanda. Heart emoji. Yikes. Then wrote, be you, now I'm really out. Hashtag drunk tweet. He lost 300 followers over that. All right, now, like Josh, I'm really out.
Oh, man, you can subscribe to hear more of that goodness at robswebsite.com/challenge. iTunes, follow me on Twitter at @ColinBryan_, and they can follow you
at @LashTweets, hashtag drunk tweet.
We'll be back next week. Hopefully no flooding until then. Have a good one.